Welcome once again to the messages of St. Jude the Apostle Anglican Church. In this episode, Pastor Andrew digs deeply into the issues surrounding spiritual release and how our attitude to demonic influences can dramatically impact our lives.
As I was preparing for today, I was going to pick up the thought of the atonement we had in our readings, but that may be for a later date. Just felt I should share around the process of release from spiritual oppression. Here in the COVID, which has been now more than 12 months, many have thought it was an act of God, which I don't think it was, although I think God is doing things in the midst of the COVID. But also I think the devil is having his go at us, left, right and centre, at any opportunity to make us feel more uncertain, more unsettled and more down than we really need to be. And we need to be able to understand that activity and how that we can then deal for it for ourselves. I've been involved in the Ministry of Release of Spiritual Oppression since 1973, and my early training was with Pastor Harold Jubri in Teen Challenge in Sydney, who was Executive Director of Teen Challenge New South Wales, and he taught me a lot of things at a very early stage in my ministry and training. The power that works through this ministry directly comes through what our Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, which we celebrate at Easter time, where he redeemed us from sin and its penalty in our lives, paying the price for our redemption, both here and for eternity. There, God breached the condemnation of the law over us, which accuses us of failing God's standard and falling short of his purpose, without providing any living answer to that condemnation. It also involved the destruction of the devil and his demonic hordes, intimidation, power, and control over our lives. Paul refers to them in Colossians as principalities and powers. By the name of Jesus, these powers have to release us and be gone. Paul writes in Colossians 2, verses 13 to 15, "And you being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with Jesus, having forgiven all our trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. Having disarmed the principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in Jesus and the cross." It is as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Saviour, the effect of his finished work on the cross comes to play in our own lives. As we look again at this theme, let us remember again the instructions of James in chapter 4, verses 6 to 10, where he gives us a number of steps on how to deal with the devil. One, recognize that God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Two, submit to God, His purpose, and right to guide and lead our lives. 3, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. 4, cleanse your hands and purify our hearts, which we do through the blood of Jesus. And finally, humble ourselves in the sight of God, and he will lift us up. Billy Graham notes this about our theme. It does not matter what we believe about the devil, because if we don't think he exists, or that he's just a harmless cartoon character running around in a red suit with a pitchfork, then we won't take him seriously. And that's exactly what he hopes for. He hopes that we will do. Because then he can sneak up on us and deceive us with his lies and temptations without us ever being aware of it. Sometimes the devil is open and direct, but often he is subtle and deceptive. And we can fall for his schemes without even being aware of it. We'll only make his work easier if we deny his existence or think he can't catch us in a snare. You can be sure that the devil exists and that he is at work in our world, although often behind the scenes. How else can you explain the evil and injustice of the world? How else can you explain the conflicts that tear apart our world and our lives? Jesus called Satan a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. He is a liar and the father of lies. But the greatest truth about Satan is that he is the defeated foe. For by his death and resurrection, Jesus Christ broke the power of Satan. Don't be deceived, but put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, who alone gives us victory over sin and death and hell and Satan. I got that from the Billy Graham Association. One of the problems we have is that we have been brought up in a culture of different worldviews, both physical and spiritual. We have perceptual and cultural problems with the idea of a devil and evil spirits. Graham 12:3 notes that the fundamental problem in regard to exorcism is the premise on which exorcism is based, that malevolent spiritual beings exist and they can invade, control, and observably impair the health of an individual who in turn can be cured through someone purportedly forcing the spiritual beings to leave. Now, Telfer does a review of the ministry of Jesus in this area. I do not like using the word exorcism because of its connotations and misunderstandings. To me, exorcisms refer to those possessed by evil spirits, not those who are oppressed. Father Martin Hope, who has done a lot of work in the diocese, to distinguish by referring to possession as major exorcisms and what I refer to as minor exorcisms. There are also other loaded terms that give us the wrong impression about what God is doing through us. For me, the most helpful term is release from spiritual oppression. It is my purpose to explore this activity in regard to my own experience of the use of spiritual gifts, such as the discerning of spirits, the word of wisdom, and the gifts of healing, along with the ministry gift of the evangelist. There are 4 points I hope to emphasize. Do not fear entities which we are terming demonic, despite their malevolent nature. Give respect for their ability to deceive and intimidate. They have been doing this for a long time. So do not revile them. Jude tells us in verse 9, yet Michael the archangel, in contending with the devil, when he disputed over the body of Moses, dared not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. If we get heated and start swearing at the devil, then he's got us under his influence. Trust the authority given to us by Jesus Christ, that in his name they will yield their prey and flee. One of the elements of the cross that we noted earlier is the dispossession of demonic hordes of their intimidation, control, and power over our lives. And finally, exalt God, turning from darkness to light, and keeping our focus upon God and what he is doing. Luke records in chapter 10 the return of the disciples who came back to Jesus with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to your name. But he said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I remember the day that Pastor Harold Jubri spoke of this particular instruction. He said he had been doing a major healing and deliverance service in a church with great effect. And they were coming back out of the service just rejoicing and happy that the demons had fled, and there was such a great effect of their ministry when he collapsed. And nothing they could do could wake him or get him up. And his wife ran in and got a prayer hanky that had been sent to her by an evangelist and laid it on Harold, and he recovered. And the Lord told him not to exalt that the demons are subject to us in Jesus' name, but to keep our focus on God and exalt in him. The beginnings of this ministry for me began in Teen Challenge, and I remember the night when I joined the team around our board table in the kitchen where they were praying, and there were 12 of us. The leader just asked us to pray and wait upon the Holy Spirit. And after some time he said, who had the thought seance? And all of us did, everyone. So he led us out the back door, which looked over a hotel, and there was a great fog. You almost couldn't see the hotel. And he rebuked in the name of Jesus the powers behind this seance. And the fog withdrew into a room in the hotel where sparks flew everywhere. And it was a period of time when there was great activity around that area, which we ministered to in different ways. The sense of reality to the power of these spirits, yep, defeated by Jesus, but they need to be rebuked, controlled, and delivered by us in the name of Jesus. I remember at Trinity College having a meal, and this young man came up to me named Peter. He said, "Could I sit down and talk to you?" I says, "Yep." He says, "I'm in great trouble. I feel quite lost. I'm into demonic music, and I don't know what to do." I said, "Well, I guess the first thing you need to do is give your life to Jesus Christ and make him Lord in your life." And he looked at me and said, "Thank you," and left. Following Friday, he came back. He says, "Can I sit again?" I said, "Yes." He looked different. He looked very morose the first time. He says, "I took your advice. I went to a church service, gave my heart to Jesus, and he set me free." And he looked free. He was some months later baptized in the Holy Spirit and given the gift of speaking in tongues. I was listening to him play his guitar in chapel because he was a musician, and it had this weird beat to it. And then when we were walking back to my room for coffee, he was singing in tongues and it had a weird beat to it. So when we got there, I said, "Look, Peter, there's something wrong with your playing and your singing." I says, "Why don't we pray and ask God what might be going on?" And as I prayed, I had this thought of a spirit called Om that I had never heard of. And I said to him, "Does Om mean anything to you?" He says, "Yes, that's the lost chord of music. Demonic chord." And so I prayed for him and I held my hand 6 inches above his head. And as I prayed and commanded this spirit to leave in the name of Jesus, blue sparks were going between my hand and his head. And Jesus set him free. That weird music beat never ever came back in his music. Was singing again. And finally, I'd like to talk to you about Marianne. Marianne was one of our lovely young women at Balan. And one night I got a phone call from one of our ladies, almost screaming down the phone, that the devil had spoken to Marianne and I need to get around there really quick. And I said, "Well, no, you can bring Marianne around here." So next thing, there was this lady, Mum and Dad and Marianne. So I put the family in the lounge room for the net and took Marianne into my study. And I said, "Marianne, what's going on?" She said, "The devil spoke aloud to me at work today." I said, "So what?" And all of a sudden, all the tension left the room. And she calmed down. I said, "It's not a problem. The devil speaking to you, is what you do of it can be an issue." And I was able to enable her to come to a confidence in the name of Jesus and the power of Christ. Sometimes we overreact to the idea that the devil just might interact with us. I remember sitting in the ops office over a decade ago when we're having all the trouble with the sewage and that. And the devil said to me, "I'm going to wear you out on this project like I've worn everybody else out." I said, "Well, thank you for that information." And I then picked up the phone and rang the architect and said, "How are we going?" "Well, we got here, didn't we?" Yep, it was a weary trip. But this is God's church, not the devil's. It's God's project. And he's enabled each of us to be a part of that project. Now, the assertion that the devil and evil spirits exist is seriously questioned by a number of philosophical, scientific, and hermeneutical traditions within which each of us has been brought up. We have all been trained to a certain extent within a modernist Enlightenment understanding of the Cartesian, Newtonian scientific worldview that includes the belief that scientific method as the only valid approach to knowledge, that only things that could be scientifically proven by experiment and experience could be facts. Spiritual things were simply values, if anything at all. The view of the universe as a mechanical system composed of elementary material building blocks. The view of life in society as a competitive struggle for existence, the survival of the fittest, and the belief in an unlimited material progress to be achieved through economic and technological growth. At a number of levels, each of these tenets has been challenged by modern-day physics, postmodernism, hermeneutics, and ecological concern for the planet and scientific philosophy. Fritz Kapsch identifies the Cartesian Newtonian worldview followed a sensate value system, the first three value systems identified by Sorokin in his Social and Cultural Dynamics. So let me take what that means slowly. The sensate value system holds that truth is material, that matter alone is the ultimate reality, denying any spiritual dimension, and holding that sensory perception is the only source of knowledge and truth. So by sensory we mean that we can see, feel, hear, touch, or smell it. They're our senses. If we can't do that, then it's not a fact. I guess Madonna's Material Girl outlines the actual reality of this viewpoint. We're materialists. We live in a material world and that's it. He goes on to describe an ideational value system that holds reality as spiritual. The true reality lies beyond the material world, in the spiritual realm, and that knowledge can be obtained through inner experience, because that's the opposite. One end material, the other end spiritual. And then there's the idealistic value system, which is a synthesis of the other two. It combines the highest and noblest expressions of both ideational and sensate styles, producing balance, integration, and aesthetic fulfillment. So in a sense, we're given three options, material, spiritual, or a combination of the both. And for many of us, and certainly for me, since my Christian conversion, I've held the idealistic value system. I've also found that I'm still mentally and philosophically affected by our cultural sensate, emphasis on the material. So the question we need to note as we approach both the scriptures and the whole essence of the spiritual reality of a spiritual world, both the sense of demonic and godly, and the things of angels and God Himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is to what extent are we impacted by our cultural training? So what's our own position? Do we recognise the influence and effect on our lives over the years of Sorokin's sensate value system and character in our culture, which sees truth as material and its resistance to spiritual things? Have we felt impinged and suppressed in our Christian walk by such forces? Does the system also infringe upon our understanding of the Bible and its supernatural content? So let's just take a thought about that. What about its believability? You know, for many of us, we find Jonah and the large fish a problem. How could a man possibly live in a fish for 3 days? Not believable. And I've noted before that, in fact, there is a modern version of the story where a fisherman was, in fact, swallowed by a whale and brought back out of his tummy. But when you read the record of that, even it is disputed. Even it is questioned as to whether it's false or not. Not believable. So how often do you approach the scriptures in your reading and you think, could that have happened? And our sensate value system says it didn't. That all those supernatural activity in the Bible never occurred from the beginning to the end. When we apply the approach of a sensate value system, none of that applies. Or do we see the balance obtained by Sorokin's idealistic value system between the material and spiritual aspects of our world and our own being? This allows for a dynamic spiritual power as expressed in the nature of our Trinitarian God and the events of Good Friday and Easter in God's activity in the world. It is that God who created us with the ability to live and communicate as both material and spiritual beings. And one final story to finish. When I was working in Teen Challenge, I was one of the directors of the centre. And one night, this great booming voice rang out at our front door and banging it, saying, "Send me a man, any man." And it was a guy who'd been in before. And of course, as the director on duty, I had to go down and open the door. And he was 6'6" and built like a tank. And one of our female counsellors trying to calm him down. And he says, "I'm going to flatten you." Now, unfortunately, I had just been reading that passage from Luke about Trino and scorpions and snakes and all that, and nothing can hurt you. And I said to him, "Well, you might hit me, but you can't hurt me." 10 minutes later, I got off the ground, having been knocked out. Didn't even see him hit me. And I had my team around me, and they took me inside to look after me. And the most amazing thing was I didn't have a scratch, a broken nose, or any broken teeth. I had no bruises whatsoever. So he certainly hit me, but he didn't hurt me, but I was really stupid to say that. There's a lot more to this than today, and I'm going to pick it up again probably next week, that we can get a hold of how we, in our own lives, and the lives of others, can defeat the power of the enemy, a defeat that Jesus won on the cross for us on Good Friday, and that God testified again by raising Jesus Christ from the dead. Let us pray. Father, you know the impact of our cultural training, the things that we've learnt and heard, ingrained in us since our early childhood, in schools and families and TV and advertisements. Help us to shake loose those cultural understandings so that we can understand your word in a greater way, hear you through it, and respond to your purpose and will. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
You can hear more great messages from Pastor Andrew by checking out our Facebook page or looking up St. Jude the Apostle on the net.